We're talking with Gerald Callahan, of course, from Express Ranches. And Gerald, let's talk a little bit about some of the things going on with Express right now. One thing is this last fall, honored by the American Angus Association as their breeder of the year. And I know actually this is almost a tradition these days for Express.
Yeah, we've been real fortunate. We have been ROV breeder of the year, I think, either 8 or 9 years in a row, and it's based on how well our cattle do across the country at shows and events, and we're very proud of it. It's something that Mr. Funk really, really enjoys, and our crew works hard to do the best job that they can, and so we are very proud of that.
I guess what 2020 starting pretty good. I noticed the other day you had a grand at the Dixie National.
Yeah, we've gotten along really good. I think it's really close this year, but we're right now leading in the points for ROV Breeder of the Year. We came off of a good Denver where we had Grand Champion Carload and Grand Champion Penn. And the yard show is where we show groups of bulls, and it's a passion of mine. I really enjoy it. It has probably a little more of a commercial application, and those bulls will be featured in our bull sale, and so we're real proud of that group because it not only looks at phenotype, but it also includes all the EPDs, ultrasound, and all of that. The judges get that, and the carload is a group of 10 bulls, and then the pen show is 3 head per pen, and so we were fortunate enough to have grand in both of those categories.
Let's talk about, you mentioned EPDs. Boy, these things have changed a lot in the last, 5 or 6 years or so. It seems like we've really gone faster and faster to get that genomic data kind of bundled into that traditional EPD.
Yes, we have. All the bulls that we sell and all the cattle here at Express do have genomically enhanced EPDs. And real simply, what that really is, it means that we pull blood on each one of those calves. We actually do it here at 3 months of age. We submit those. And then that indicates that animal's genomics and their genetic tabulation and their ability to transmit those genetics to their offspring. And it's very, very powerful, depending on the trait, but it's already, when we sell these yearling bulls and coming two-year-old bulls here, it's already like that bull had sired a calf crop. It depends on the trait, but somewhere between 8 and 22 calves, it's like that you had that progeny phenotypic data from each one of those calves back into his EPDs. So what we look at it as here is for our commercial bull buyers, we look at it as it should give them added confidence. If they're buying a bull to use on heifers, it's some proof. In other words, he should be a heifer bull. If he's double-digit CED, if he's low on his birth weight EPD, they should be able to buy him with more confidence that he's going to reduce the problems that they have in calving. If he's a high-growth bull and one that they want to use on cows, then they should have more confidence that he's going to sire calves that weigh heavier, that have more pounds. And if they take those cattle all the way through the feedlot phase, or whoever buys them do that, then when they look at his marbling and his ribeye, they should also have more confidence that that kill data on his progeny is going to be correct.
So for that buyer that comes to your sale, or any of these purebred sales that are out here in the country, what would be your recommendation? In other words, how do they get that their arms around all the information that's available on all these animals?
Well, I think you really don't have to study the individual percentiles on EPD on genomics. All you really need to do is look at the EPDs, because all that information flows into that singular numerical value for each EPD. If I'm going to buy bulls to use on heifers, I'm going to want him to be an 8 or above on CED and below a 1.5 on birth EPD. We call those 4-star Kevinese bulls, and then I think that we can, with confidence, people can buy those bulls and know that it's going to reduce their calving difficulty. So all you really have to do is look at the actual EPD. You don't have to worry about the percentile in terms of what that animal did on genomics. Is we've tried to boil this down, the American Angus Association has tried to boil this down so that it's easy to use for the commercial cattleman, and all that he really has to do is analyze the EPDs and find out figure out what he is looking for in his individual operation.
Does that include using the what the dollar averages?
Yeah, you also have the bioeconomic indexes, which there's several of those, but the big ones would be dollar M, dollar maternal, and dollar B. Dollar B is a big driver. We also publish a dollar C. Dollar C is a combination of dollar maternal and dollar beef. Those are bioeconomic indexes that are derived from their EPDs on certain traits and put into an index. If you're on dollar beef, it's very growth and carcass driven because it's comprised of carcass weight, marbling, ribeye. It also has a fat component. It also has a dry matter intake component in it. If you look at dollar maternal, it's got a whole bunch of EPDs that are combined in it from Kevinese to mature cow weight to heifer pregnancy to the weaning growth. And it has several traits in it, but the dollar indexes, I think, work well. We have a lot of confidence over the years that dollar beef is very indicative of cattle that performed really well on the post-weaning growth and also performed very well on the rail.
Tell me a little bit about, obviously you got a big bull sale coming up, over 500 Angus bulls, 50 Hereford bulls. What's the philosophy as you try to assemble these this set of animals each year for this March sale? What's the philosophy that you and Mr. Funk have?
Well, we try to, first off, we can't stay in business if we don't do a good job of supplying our customers and servicing our customers with what they need. You know, we've had Bob's always supplied the resources here that if we've identified genetics that we don't own, that we've had the opportunity to go try to obtain those genetics and put back in our breeding operation. We're really proud of this set of bulls. Each year we try to make them better. We try to use a lot of common sense, and we still think that even with all the science and technology, that we have to produce problem-free bulls for the people that buy them. They've got to be all right in terms of disposition. They've got to be good on their feet and legs. They have to go out there and get their cows bred and not cause them problems. And a problem bull, for whatever reason, whether it's fertility, whether it's disposition, whether he gets out all time, that's a bull that nobody wants. And so we try to produce problem-free cattle with the added benefit with as much growth and carcass and Kevinese as we can get in those cattle.
When you start thinking about what that end user needs, that commercial operator that comes in here and wants to buy a bull or maybe even several bulls, what does that typical buyer look like?
I don't know if there is a typical buyer. You know, we run a lot of commercial cows too, and so we get to try our own product out, which I think is really, really important. And most all of us that work here, we have a strong commercial background, actually more than in most cases than a purebred background. I don't know if we have I think every operation, while they have similarities, they're a little bit different in terms of their management. But, you know, we try to service them. We try to work with each one of them the best that we can. We try to answer their information. We video all of our bulls. They can look at them on video. If they go to the Express web page, we have Superior at the sale if they can't be here. We have free delivery to on the bulls to the different locations that the buyer's from. And it's a very, very, very competitive market. And we have to continually earn that support from the commercial industry because they really don't owe us anything. And so every year we have to furnish them a good enough product that does a good enough job to make them want to return and be a repeat customer.
Last question, Gerald, as far as looking out, you know, you're in a position right here at this ranch and with this seed stock operation. You've got to always kind of not only look at today, but you've got to look at tomorrow as well. What is the next, you know, what's that future look like right now, you think, for this business and for, you know, the seed stock and the Angus business in general?
Well, I think we've underwent some challenging times, and I think, you know, it's always going to be, production agriculture is always a challenge. And You know, I think as we look into the future, that I've always been a little disappointed in the livestock industry that progress has really lagged behind the plant world, the agronomist. But I think we're rapidly making changes through genomics and through some of the science and technology. I'm really excited about the future. I think that we have the potential to make cattle better and better, that not only have the convenience traits, but also add more value. And I think we've seen that. I think the demand for beef is really, really good. The demand for high-quality beef domestically and internationally is as good as it's ever been. I think one of the reasons it is that good is because we have increased the quality of the product, we have increased the eating satisfaction, and I think that's why we see the demand for high-quality beef in the U.S. and around the world. We've led that charge here in the United States, and the Angus breed in particular has been a huge component of that, and I just see that getting better and better because as people can afford it, and as you see emerging economies around the world, in those countries, the demand for beef is really, really high, and the demand for U.S. beef, because of its quality, I think will continue to increase.